Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, my name is Ellie. And when I was at primary school, I was obsessed with writing. I'd write page upon page of poetry.
From an early age, Ellie Barrett saw the world through a unique lens, one that wasn't exactly a bright ray of sunshine.
I'm not sure why they ended up so dark, but I still kind of love them. So here are my poems by Ellie, age 6. I kept my bedroom tidy. I blew it down. I am doing a job. We were going to the pub. We saw a house on fire. I hurt my knee. I went to knock on the door. I know who you are. I know how to tie a knot. My mum has a knife. I'd just like to say here that I didn't have a particularly dark childhood or anything. My mum was not a knife-wielding maniac. Entry 2. I went on a boat ride. I learnt how to float. I saw a little boy moaning. I saw a dog shout. Monday the 13th of May. If I were a pirate, I would hunt treasure. Some people are deaf, you know. Steady over the road, you might get run over. So I got mixed reports for my writing. But when the teacher, Mr. Craddock, was leaving school, I was moved to pen him a tribute. Hi, Mr. Craddock. We'll remember you when you're dead.
From PRX and Radiotopia, I'm Dave, and this is Mortified. Today on the show, Girls with a Gift for Gloom. Tales for the Wednesday Addams, lurking in all of us.
Hi, everyone. I'm Yejin. So I grew up in a small town called Pennington, New Jersey, which is as alabaster and small as it sounds, in a somewhat stereotypical Korean-American middle-class household that where, you know, achievement reigned supreme. At some point I was doing ballet, piano, flute, opera, getting high marks, being class president, all while trying to be super likable and hide my difference, both racial and otherwise, and also be a perfect, modest little daughter. But I had a lot of anger. So I wasn't really ready to let my anger out into the world. So at around age 14, in the wee hours of the morning, I would sneak out into the study and get onto the internet during a time when there was very loud dial-up and start writing private entries in a thing called Zanga. So I'm going to read for you a couple of the private entries that I wrote. This one's called Mirrors. Written at age 14. They hate her because she does not reflect their talents, intelligence, morals. They hate her because she's not a mirror embodying a perfect reflection of their lives. I hate mirrors. The second one is also dramatically titled, it's called Suffocation, also written at age 14. The young girl, it turns out, was deathly allergic to a substance that's contained in the air. If she breathes too much of this normally wonderful and unappreciated air, she could die slowly, and her body will proceed to deteriorate. Her parents, panicking, wonder as to how they should help their beloved daughter. They crowd and purposefully suffocate her. But how is she to breathe now that her mom is covering her mouth and her father is covering her nose? Is it better to die suffocating in the hands of people who love you or to live in the hands of unlucky fate? If it were her choice, she would choose to live even though her destiny had been decided. She dreamed of living her own life. She dreamed of dying her own death. In the process of taking away this detrimental substance, it was inevitable that she would die. Her body grows limp, and her parents realize what they had done to their daughter. Oops. So by the time that I turned 15, I was competing in a lot of local and statewide classical piano competitions. Pretty cool. Also had been to 4 piano sleepaway camps by this point. But you will note some anger in this next entry. It is called The Ultimate Plan, and I was 15. The mother had an ultimate plan for the boy. He could not get out of it. He was to become a performance pianist. It was only natural since his talent was transcendent. Mother loved her son dearly, but loved what he embodied even more, so she disregarded any feelings he had toward the future she was creating for him. He had been preparing for a big recital at Carnegie Hall for months. Mother was in the front row, proud of her son, but more proud of herself. She applauded like a madwoman as he walked onto the stage. Wait. There was a girl on the stage with the son. What was she doing with him? Who was she? It turns out this girl was his lover, and he had no intention of becoming a performance pianist, for it was not something he loved. He loved this girl. He loved writing. He swore to himself and the audience that after this performance, he would only play for himself and not for others. Mother, aghast by the turn of events, shot the couple on stage, acting out of pure madness and forgetting that she actually did love her son. Too late. That was a little dramatic. This one is called Drowning in Blind Dependence. Also written at age 15. She had a dreadful fear of water and was almost ready to overcome it with the help of a friend she was ever so dependent on. "You'll be fine," shouted her friend. She mounted the low dive nervously, wondering if the glimmering pool of chlorine was going to engulf her into its realms. Her toes curled over the edge of the board as the girl squeezed her eyes shut. "You can do it. I'm here for you," shouted the friend, encouraging her to the max. For this reason, the girl was able to jump. She did not panic as she was immersed in the water, but rather enjoyed the experience. The friend ran over to her, wrapped her arms around the brave girl. "You did it." "Only with your help," the girl replied. Wanting to please her friend again, the girl ran to the high dive this time. "Hey," the girl shouted as she reached the edge of the 20-foot diving board. So after holding in my anger for a lot of years in these secret Zynga posts, I began to learn how to actually externalize anger in a healthy way. And now, as a nonprofit professional who focuses on anti-racism and empowering young people, I think anger can be powerful and generative and beautiful. Thank you.
That was Yejin Lee at a Mortified event in Brooklyn from 2017.
Do you like the stories you hear on the Mortified podcast? See it live. We've got upcoming shows in cities across the country. This week, you can catch us in Baltimore and Los Angeles. This spring, you can catch events in Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, Austin, Chicago, Brooklyn, DC, and more. Get your tickets at getmortified.com.
Hi, my name's Amanda. Thank you. I'm from San Diego, California. All right. But I had no interest in the surfer dudes or the girls who hung out at the beach. In middle school, I was a goth. I even tried making my little brother into a goth. So I was pretty into goth makeovers, but I had a deeper passion, writing. And I even locked myself in toilet stalls at lunch to write poetry, thinking I was the first person to ever come up with that idea. So tonight I'm going to share some of my early teenage goth writings with you from the years 1995 to 1997. Thanks. Colors. Black. All I see is black. Like a fierce blow to my back. I just can't stay on track. For all I see is black. Blue. I am extremely blue. No one ever comes through. There's nothing left to do. I am extremely blue. Red. All blood bleeds red. The voice inside my head was screaming when it said that all blood bleeds red. Green. The grass is never green. I don't wish to be seen and can't see what you mean. The grass is never green. Brown. Pink has turned to brown. I cannot lift my frown. If you swim, you'll never drown. But pink has turned to brown. This one color is like none other. The sun is my brother and heaven is my mother. This one color is like none other. Thank you, that was colors. So this next poem I wrote after a tiny goth boy dumped me. Roses are black. The sky is gray. I want to kill the motherfucker who invented Valentine's Day. Thank you so much. I also tried my hand at limericks. I'm surrounded by clouds of smoke, and sooner or later I'll croak. But life is a bitch and I'm in a ditch, now I am about to go choke. Thank you. Okay, so living life as a goth in San Diego wasn't easy. You know, my science teacher called me a pirate for wearing black and white striped tights. Some girls at lunch called my Hot Topic belt a cowboy belt, and some surfer dudes threw food at me. Yeah, I know. So all this and more inspired me to write the following poem. Fuck you. Fuck you, who can lie there and say, oh, what a wonderful, happy day. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, who can shatter my dreams and claw at my pride. Who the fuck do you think you are? You're a target for my fuck yous. You fucking think you know everything? What the fuck do you know? Am I not fucking good enough for you? Fuck you. And if I rise up to an overpowering beauty with a job and a husband and a fucking mansion on a hill, and people read my writing and people look up to me, I'll gaze down on you and scream, fuck you. So I have since left San Diego with its surfer dudes and its beach girls and all of that. I now live in New York, where I am a massage therapist and a Jewish educator. Thank you. And I teach kids all kinds of stuff, and I have never been tempted to dress any of them up as a goth. Not even once.
That was Amanda Miller, recorded at a Mortified event at Littlefield in Brooklyn back in 2019. Ah, the before times. And this concludes our celebration of Girls and Gloom, where we learned to not ever get on the bad side of a kid who goes out of their way just to tell you,
my mom has a knife.
Everything shared on today's show is true, no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. Of course, if you are craving more mortification, today's episode pairs nicely with episode 204, I'm So Over You, and episode 190, I Need a Pep Talk, which is not a statement for myself, but maybe it is. And did you know we make stuff other than this podcast? We do. Visit getmortified.com to get your hands on great Mortified gifts, including our 3 books, Mortified t-shirts, or even our super fun party game, I Can't Believe I Did That, where you prompt your friends to share their own childhood stories. And if you've got kids 9 to 13, check out our hilarious and educational storytelling podcast made just for tweens called Ooh, You're in Trouble. For companies wishing to reach kajillions of listeners with remarkable taste on this very podcast, email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. This series is a team effort. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Joey Fishground, Neil Ketcher, and myself, Dave Nadelberg. Some of the material featured in this episode was produced for the stage by Stephen Chapaska, Hannah Rogers, and Adam Rubin, some of the amazing producers whose work makes our stage show possible. And credit music by Snake, Snake, Snakes. This has been a Mortified Media production for Radiotopia, a network from PRX. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.